Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Upside Swings NBA Draft Podcast, the podcast with the highest ceiling. I'm your host, Bryce Hendricks, joined... Well, I should say I'm your host. I actually didn't host the last one. I am your host today, but they managed one without me. I believe that was the first Upside Swings episode ever without me on it, and I'm blessed to be back again, joined, as always, by the great Stone Hansen and the wonderful Cooper Klein. Coop Stone, my friends, how you guys doing?
Doing well. It's good to see you back off the IR. Good to have the usual host back. I'm super excited for this episode. I've literally just been like counting down the days, honestly, to do this one because I was so excited. I watched a ton of film for this player, and I can't wait to start our breakdown series. So should be a blast.
Yeah, it's been a weird few days, and you know, it's been tough coming back down to earth after you know, hosting the Upside Swings NBA Draft Podcast. You know, it was very tough to come off that high, but I'm feeling great. I'm excited to have the gang back together, and just really excited to talk about just one of the weirdest prospects ever. So you know, let's hop right in.
I will say real quick to add. I'm actually pretty happy this week because I started coaching this week. First two games, we blew out both teams by a combined margin of 60 points. So I'm pretty happy.
It's good. It's good to know that, you know, we are also elite coaches. I don't know if I mentioned this, but my team went undefeated this year. So, you know, it's that type of elite basketball talent on this podcast. But yeah, let's jump into Victor Wembanyama. And I think the place to start is just with a quick look at his statistics. He plays for a team that I'm not going to try and pronounce the actual name of. We're just going to call them the Metropolitan 92s, 90 seconds. I don't know. I honestly don't even know that part. They're the Mets.
It's just the Mets. Yeah, the real Mets. There's no other Mets team. Come on now.
He is a January 4th, 2004 birthday. So his rookie season will technically be his age 20 season. His rookie season will technically be his age 20 season. He just recently turned 19. He is listed at 7'3". I think we are all in agreement that he is taller. I will say like high 7'4". But once you get to a certain point, it's hard to tell just watching film because the difference between 7'4 and 7'6 is just not something you see every day. You know, it's pretty rare you see a 7'6 guy stand next to a 7'4 guy. I went to high school with a 7'4 kid, actually. So I have a little bit of I've thrown lobs to him. So I have a little bit of personal experience of what a human being that big is like. Let's just say my good friend Riley Sorn was a little more lumbering than Victor Wembanyama is.
One time I stood next to Joe Chi, and he's only like 7'1". I know that's Stone's favorite player, so I wanted to kind of rub it in a little bit, but he is a massive human being. And it's terrifying. Even as someone who's like 6'3", he is just terrifying to stand next to.
Yeah, it's so funny, you know, like I consider myself like a somewhat tall person. You know, in most rooms I'm in the top percentile of tall people. But yeah, it's just a different world. You know, like I was small when I played in high school, right? Like my teammates were big. I played as a guard. You know, my best friend in high school is 6'10". So like I have some experience with what just these giant human beings are like, but it's different to see someone like Webby who moves the way he does. Anyways, on to his stats. In 31.8 minutes per game in 18 games so far this season, he's averaging 21.4 points per game on 47.9, 29.5, 81.1 shooting splits, 9.4 rebounds, which is very nice. 2 assists, 3.2 blocks, 2.1 fouls and 2.6 turnovers. I won't go too into like the advanced stats or anything because they're kind of hard to come like to trust sometimes, especially because as we'll get into, there's some weird playing rules things in the EuroLeague. But he is at 10.7 block rate, which is great. An 11.7 assist rate is not bad. And then his true shooting is 58.7. So there's just kind of a general statistical outlook. I think the thing I have to say about his stats is that he is already a good, positive contributor to winning basketball. This is not, you know, I don't know, Michael Olowokandi or whatever, where it's all flash, it's all intrigue. No, he has already proven that he is good. One of my best friends in real life commented on Twitter today. He's like, I feel like it's not crazy to say he could already be a top 20 player in the NBA. And at least statistically, I think that makes a lot of sense. Like, he's already producing in one of the best leagues in the world. The French A League is a very, very good league. It's full of talent. I would say that it's not as well coached as like the Spanish A, or it's not as good in general as like the Spanish A League. But it is like a very solid league. And then when he gets to the higher, to the EuroLeague, Euro Cup stuff, it's, you know, even better. So like he's already producing. So that does take me to like immediately translatable skills. I want to focus on offense first. We're going to break his game down into offense and defense. So I'm going to throw this to you. What are some like things that stand out to you from Wembanyama that you're already like, he's going to do that in the NBA?
I mean, it sounds rudimentary, but like just his height alone, I think is going to provide just a lot of opportunistic abilities for him where he could just take advantage of being taller than everybody else. And that sounds super simplified and rigid, but he's just, I mean, that's what he's going to be able to do. I posted a lot of clips this week when I was watching him and a ton that stood out to me. And what sort of blew me away is just how good he is at using his reach to get around guys. And we'll get into it more in a little bit in terms of the more intricacies of it, but just the way he's able to score around guys, use the length of his strides, whether it's in post moves, and we'll get into the footwork more too, but just the length of stride and the length of his wingspan to get him to the rim as quickly as possible or finish over so many different types of defenses. It is really remarkable, and I think that's just going to be like the top thing that carries him as a scorer when he enters the league, as well as we'll get into a little bit more probably when Bryce breaks it all down. But the shot, I do think the shot is real. Maybe not in the first year, won't be as predominant, but I think nonetheless it'll still be something that he can fall back on in some scenarios. So I do think that there's a lot of ways that his height and length allows him to score, and he'll be able to take opportunities of all of them when he gets there.
Yeah, I think the shot itself is just really solid. Like, I think he'll come in and be like an NBA level 3-point shooter at least. But then I think he can come in and just be a free throw tank. Like the second he touches the league, I think Bol Bol and, you know, just these long, tall guys who can kind of dribble to a degree. Like if you can just be tall and dribble, you're going to draw a lot of fouls. It helps to be taller to draw fouls. It just from in the NBA, if you're taller, you're going to get hit more because people can't get to the ball. They can't get to your hands. And he's already shooting 6 free throw attempts a game. Like that's pretty insane for a guy who is, you know, 19 years old right now, basically newly 19, you know, shooting 6 free throw attempts a game, 81%, just, we've seen that free throw shooting can translate immediately with prospects into the NBA with like Paolo and Mathurin, and they're different prospects. But I think that's a part of his game that we could see come over immediately.
Yeah. So I think the thing that stands out to me the most is like the thing he's going to be really good at from day one is that he's already like an awesome role man. You know, it ties in with a lot of what Stone and Coop mentioned, but like, he can just really seriously get up for lobs. Like the catch radius is the roof, basically. I mean, he gets up quickly too. Like we're going to talk a lot about his very specific athleticism in time, but I think like one of the more impressive things to me is that he has a very short load time to get off the ground. He doesn't get to catch lobs a ton despite playing with good passers because he's almost always playing next to another like non-shooting four, or he's playing next to Andrzej Pasecznik, who is just a non-anything. I had to throw that shot in there. But like I think, you know, I imagine, you know, even teams like it, you know, even like the shitty teams, they could get the number one pick. It's like, you know, give this dude you know, anyone, like any slightly confident NBA level point guard, and he's going to be an automatic role man threat. Like he can just get up and catch lobs. His touch is great. Like his ability to go up sky for a lob, but even if he gets cut off to like tip it in or, you know, come down with it and then quickly go back up is great. He has a real knack for like these little, like, I think some would call them touch passes, but I don't even know if that's like the term. Like he just like swats the ball towards people and it's great. Like he has a great feel for that. Like he'll go up, oh, two people are jumping with me, let me hit the ball down to see who's going to throw down a dunk. Or he even had one that I saw where it was like a really poorly thrown lob by Ugo Bassan, and he like slapped it behind his head to like a three-point shooter in the corner. Like he just like, it's just like some of the stuff he does, his role man is insane. And I'll also say, and this will kind of transition us to our next thing, I think he already has some go-to post scoring skills. So for those who don't know, I'm a Jazz fan, and the best player on the Jazz this year has been Lauri Markkanen, and one of his best skills has just been that when he's playing at the three and he's guarded by like a normal three-sized human being, like a 6'7", 6'8" guy, he's just started just taking no dribble shots just right over their head. You know, like not fading away, not anything like that, not jab stepping or shimmying, just catch the ball, turn, shoot it right over their head. He is already great at that. Like Wemby has that, and Wemby is 4 inches taller than Lauri Markkanen. Like he has that ability to, and I feel like he doesn't do it as much as he could, but just catch at the elbow, turn and face really fast. Don't do anything too fancy. Shoot it. Just shoot the ball. His touch is great in the mid post area. Cooper, I'm going to throw this to you. What's your general feel with, just talk me through what you saw for Wemby as a post scorer.
Yeah. So I feel like a big reason why he doesn't like do it as much as you would like you're talking about, is every time he touches the ball in the post, there's like a big 2 feet away, and then he often gets sent like a double, but this guy's just constantly digging into, you know, the ball, into the handle. I think it's really like he can dribble out of a like a jab step, you know, a triple threat. He can set himself up and get into just about anything, like off of either foot, you know, going either way. Sometimes it's like you're watching Carmelo Anthony, but it's like he's added, you know, an extra 9-10 inches to his height and actually knows how to pass the basketball. He's like, the mid post is, you know, people talk about, you know, the mid post is the post is dead, you know, the mid range is dead. But if you're just shooting over guys, and I don't think that there are going to be more than like two guys in the NBA that can actually like guard a Wembanyama jumper in the way you're talking about, or guard him in the mid post effectively with this shot, you know, I think the strategy teams are going to send early is like, oh, 6'8", 6'9" strong guy who has long arms, and we're going to send him, and he's just going to bully him and push him off his spots. And that's not going to do anything, I don't think. So he'll just go over or draw a foul. And it's just, it's hard to think of counters to a guy who can dribble and shoot off of any alignment and has an actual bag. So it's just a really weird combination. I feel like we'll say that a million times. Don't want to repeat myself too much, but it's, he's a machine.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing that stands out to me as a post scorer specifically is that he, on like pivots, just creates so much space with how long his legs are. Like his limbs are just ridiculously long. And his footwork is like impeccable, and that paired with the stride of, or the length of his feet when he pivots or when he does like a drop step, it creates so much space. Or even like spin moves, he can be like near the free throw line and do a spin move, and he's pretty much right under the rim with the combination of his stride and his reach. Just the amount of ground he can cover so quickly in the post, and really like he can start a post up like in the mid range or at the free throw line, and that's like a post up for him because he's so long. You're not talking about a typical person that's starting on the low block with their post up. He doesn't need to do that. And his go to move is obviously the dream shake. He loves doing the little shimmy with his shoulders. And so not only does he have like the whole physical advantage, but the technicality advantage he has with his footwork, and just the skill with the dream shake, which is really effective. It's become like a really strong thing for him where he can move his shoulders to either side and do a turnaround jumper. And it's usually money for him. It's just that pairing is so unbelievable that I think, like, I don't really know how you stop him as a post scorer, because he's such a good passer out of double teams too. So yeah, he's got like everything you want in someone that is that tall, because he's so skilled at it as well. So I think he's going to be just an absolute force in the mid range and in post.
Yeah, so I'll talk a little more just kind of about some of the specifics that tend to come with his post-ups. I do really like just in general, you know, we talked about just being able to shoot over people, but on the rare occasions he was guarded by someone where he had to do something, I think he does have a couple go-to moves that are really nice. I think the most impressive one, even if it's maybe not the most effective one, is like that little, like he just has perfect fadeaway footwork and like motion, like textbook when you're taught, you know, as you start rising up, as you turn, get to a point where you're at your farthest back when you're also at your farthest up, and then you, you know, move through the shot. It's just, it's really great stuff. Again, it's not the, like, he sometimes relies on that shot too much, and it sort of bothers me, like when he could just shoot over someone, he's still going to try and go to that fadeaway sometimes, but when he needs it, it is effective. He's very good already at that sort of rip through move, either to get fouls or to blow by people. He's very, very good at that. He has great feel for when he can use his body. He is not strong. I think that is something we will note throughout, is that he does have some issues with just kind of being a little skinny, and he struggles a bit like to move guys around, but he does know like, okay, this is when I should lower my shoulder to get maximum separation and get at the rim. I think there are times where he kind of does things without a plan, especially when he's going towards the middle of the floor. I love when he rips baseline. Sometimes he goes to the middle of the floor and then he picks the ball up and he's just takes two steps and he throws something up, and his touch is so good that sometimes that doesn't matter. Like, he makes a solid percentage of those shots because he's like, his touch is truly indescribable with words. I feel like some of the stuff he can make with his right hand, and he's not, it's not like he's a bad left, his left hand touch is bad either. He's pretty ambidextrous, but like specifically if he can get to that right hand in the mid post area, it's a bucket, because his touch is insane. But he can sometimes, you know, try and run through two people and get stripped. He definitely has that issue where he brings the ball low, you know, he picks the ball up too low. So again, I'm going to nitpick because he is one of the greatest prospects of all time. If there's anyone who can handle a few nitpicks, I'm going to guess it's Victor Wembanyama. You know what I mean? And I think it's important to really talk about him holistically, but yeah, like he's already a very, very developed post scorer with a lot of moves, though I am interested to see how it develops, because, and we'll talk about this later with his potential role, I do wonder how big a part of his game it's going to be at the NBA level, but we'll cross that bridge in a little bit. Stone, I'm going to throw this back to you. And you could split this however you like. I'm just going to give you the most general possible premise I can. Tell me about Victor Wembanyama's handle.
I think it's somewhat in some ways similar to how I described Chet last year, where a lot of people are like, you know, going over his handle, and he's like it in at lower levels, it's super functional. In the NBA, in the open court, it looks really good. But the difference here with Wembanyama to me and Chet, where that sort of falls apart, is I think Wembanyama just has much better reaction time with his handle. Like if he sees a defender coming, I think he's much quicker at being able to dribble it to the other side of his body, or go, you know, around it through his legs or whatever the case may be to get out of that situation. I think he's just got much faster reaction time. Obviously, if you're 7'4", 7'5", 7'6", whatever he is right now, your handle is going to be pretty high in comparison to the rest of the league. But because of like what I said, I think it mitigates a lot of that. Even though it's high, he's got such good awareness that I think he's able to react quickly enough to make that not as big of a concern for me. He's not someone that I'm saying like is going to be your full-time point guard or anything. He's not like a point center, but he has, I think, the ability to take guys like, he's so long that I think you're okay with him dribbling in from the perimeter and not getting picked off because he has really good reaction time where he can grab the ball. And if it's only one step, it's not that big a deal because he can just rise up and shoot over someone or go in for a layup and he's basically at the rim already after one step. So there's so many things he can do with his handle and it leads to a lot of his scoring that I'm okay just sort of letting him let Victor be Victor and dribble how he wants to, because I don't really feel like it's going to be that huge of a concern for me with the reaction time that he has.
Yeah. The key thing there is just the reaction speed. He does all these things that like 6'9" guys or 6'8" guys, who are like, oh, this guy's a ball handler, or there's the potential for him to be a ball handler. It's like, oh, he gets doubled and he was like going through like a dribble move where he's like pulling a crossover between the legs. That's kind of nervous. I think he's going to get stripped. And then he just kind of flings the ball out somewhere and then he reacts quick enough and he can get to it. And he just moves so well and he reacts so well that it just doesn't matter. Like he's not perfect, but he is just able to just read and react to any situation that comes, and he doesn't like get academy brain. He just naturally like sees shit coming and then throws the ball where it needs to be, goes and gets it and can score from anywhere. So you can't like force him into a bad spot. It's a weird combination.
Yeah. So I definitely like the handle in certain situations. I kind of wish he would grab and go more. That's something they had him almost never do. Obviously, and maybe I shouldn't say obviously, but he's not like dribbling through traffic. Like he just can't, like if there are two people there, like he can't really dribble through them. It's just not something like physically he can do. He can't really get low enough. I feel like there is a world where he could run some pick and roll against like pure drop coverage in a well-spaced floor, but I don't think that's something you're going to have him do often. But what I will say is I think his handle is good enough to win in isolations, at least occasionally, depending on who's defending him. Either to create jump, like he is very comfortable, like hitting certain moves into jump shots. I am interested to see if in a better spaced floor, he can learn to leverage, like he does. He will have some like closeout attacks where he gets to the rim, but other than that, he is not getting to the rim a ton. I do wonder if there's a world where, you know, if he's guarded by, say, Domantas Sabonis on the perimeter in a well-spaced floor, can he just blow by Sabonis and get to the rim? I think maybe. I think that's possible. You know, likelihood, I'm unsure. But, like, I don't think that's out of the question for him.
Yeah, here's sort of the thing with that for me is, yeah, but also I don't think it really matters because, like, I mean, it does matter to some degree, but, like, I think he's so good that he could just stop and put a floater or stop and shoot and over like the majority of the league and be fine. Like if he has to pick up his dribble, he's got good enough feel to be like, I'm not going to get past this guy, but it doesn't matter because I can just rise up and score over him. He's not going to break down defenses, like start initiating plays and get to the paint and have, you know, all these defenses swarm towards him and pass out of it. He's 7'5" or whatever, but he's good enough, like I think in isolation to, even if he can't beat someone with the speed of his handle, I think he could beat someone with the speed of his reaction. And for me, that's sort of the difference maker.
Yeah. So that's the other thing I did want to hit on was you guys brought up a lot about like reaction time. And I think that's sort of the story of what the secret sauce to what makes Wembanyama so special, aside from the size and the fluidity, all that stuff is great. But what really makes him so special that brings that all together is that he is just an incredible improviser. He is like a truly great SNL cast member where he can just drop a line on the spot and it's perfect and it makes everyone laugh. And, you know, Lauren is cracking up in the back, whatever. That is the basketball equivalent of Victor Wembanyama because he is so quick and so creative. It just like in ways you've never seen before, you know, like those one-legged threes, they're cool, but they went in and it's not just like him showing off. It is probably a little bit him showing off, but it's also like he's just so cerebral isn't even the right word because cerebral makes you think that someone is thinking that way.
It's one of those things where people say you're either born with it or you're not. Wembanyama to me is just born with it. Like he just knows what to do on a basketball court. He just knows the right things to do and it always works.
It honestly works. Makes me wonder like if he has like a very like well-trained pattern recognition system in his brain or something. Like because he's just so good at understanding where everyone on the court is, where space is. And again, like he still has like some mental mistakes. That's not to say he's like a perfect decision maker or anything, but just like he's like, oh, okay, there's some space on the right wing. Well, I could take two dribbles, get over there, wheel my right hip around and rise into a jumper like it's nothing. And then he just does it. Like it's again, like that's the type of shot like Kyrie takes. You know, where it's like, oh, there's space on that right wing there. Let me take a couple dribbles and then I'm going to hit this like weird running fadeaway where I start my jump facing like dead baseline and then turn towards the rim as I'm in the air. Well, Wembanyama does that and he's, you know, 1'3" taller than Kyrie Irving. Like, it's just how he reacts is so absurd. And that's part of why I said, you know, I mentioned like I want to see him grab and go more. It's because when he does play in transition, he's like an awesome transition passer. He's consistently making absurd playmaking reads in transition that would be impressive if he was a 6'3" guard. You know, he's not getting that opportunity often. And oftentimes it's, you know, he grabs a rebound, passes ahead to someone, and then he runs the floor and gets to make that next pass. But with on the few occasions he does get to bring the ball up, it almost always results in either a turnover because he gets doubled at half court, which I get that sort of the worry, or an awesome, awesome pass that gets an open shot for someone. It's just like, and that transitions me to this next spot with the playmaking. I think his playmaking is what really makes him special. I think like he could be an offensive hub as a passer just as much as he could be an offensive hub as a scorer. Coop, how do you kind of feel about Wemby's playmaking skills?
So I think the best way to describe Wembanyama's passing is that he has access to angles that no other human ever has and maybe ever will, because of his fluidity, his size, his length, and his vision. Like the way he can just reach up and wrap passes around, especially with that right hand, he's fine with both hands, but especially with the right, especially in the post, he likes to be able to get to that right hand to throw kick out passes. But he can just whip from any angle, like a little zip pass across his body, you know, perfectly to the pocket. And like from almost anywhere, like I said, from the post, he can do it from the perimeter. He can do it heading downhill. He can make passes out from when he's like pinned under the basket, which doesn't really happen because he's like 7'5", but he, you know, if there's two guys there, he can go around guys. There's just not a reason to think that the passing won't be a thing or be a positive, because it's not like he's a game stopping passer either. Like you talked about, he makes quick reads. He can slow the ball down and, you know, make the right read out of a play that's developing. He can just kind of do whatever kind of playmaking you want him to do. You know, his delivery can sometimes he forgets other people aren't 7'5" demigods and will throw the ball a bit high and they have to really jump. And, you know, that slows down the play. His delivery isn't always perfect, but I think that'll come with time. And just combined with his ability, his basically innate ability to draw double teams, it's a super deadly combination.
So much, I think, in terms of just how he sees things, it just all sort of ties together in different ways. Like, we can start talking about his shooting, or we could start talking about his handle, but it leads to something else within his game. It's all connected because it's all tied together a lot with sort of the reactiveness and just his height really just plays a massive part in a lot of different things. I'm going to let you guys take it as so you can stall while I go through my notes, because they're all scrambled.
Yeah. So I think like the passing is, I'm with Coop where I just think it's just pretty insane. And a lot of he will make some mistakes, but he is ambitious in all the right ways, where he is trying to fit it in tiny windows. He will throw passes when he has like open shots just to do it sometimes. And it's all like in the name of trying to create open shots. And I think he's like he seems like a pretty intense dude. I think like I wouldn't say the motor runs super hot, but I think he does really give a shit about winning. And I think it like he's constantly trying to make winning plays as a passer. He's so quick too. Like, I think that's what really impresses me is when I was first watching him, I'm like, oh, he's a very nice standstill passer. He gets the ball in the post and he's throwing these, you know, he gets a couple seconds to read the floor and then he makes good play. Great. That's a great starting point for a 19-year-old big man. But then like some of the little things he'll mix in that just really add to the upside there. Like he's not really throwing live dribble passes right now, but he will throw some passes like from the short roll that are just immediate reads. Or I really love his connective passing when like he gets closeouts. You know, he's only a 29% shooter from deep, and we're going to talk about the shooting in a second, but he gets closeouts and he'll make that read. Like, he'll make that next pass very quickly. He doesn't hesitate. So yeah, I don't know. I think I he's not like a heliocentric passer. Like, he's not what Luka was or anything, but I do think he could be like a 6-7 assists per game type guy. Like I would say his passing is a little better than like what Giannis is probably is, like when they kind of reach their prime outcomes. And Giannis is like a very good passer, considering, you know what I mean? Like, I think he is a slightly better passer than Giannis, if that makes sense. You know, obviously Giannis has had more time to get, you know, introduced to the NBA game and all that, but like, and just in terms of like how quickly they read the game, the passes they can access, and what they're trying to accomplish with their passes, I just think he is a borderline special passer when you consider the fact that he's 7'4" and an elite athlete. You know what I mean? Go ahead, Stone. What did you have to say about his playmaking?
Yeah, I was just gonna say that the way, if you watch Victor from 2 years ago compared to now, I think that's probably what's for me improved the most is his passing. Like, he's always had this natural feel, this like gifted reactive speed that we've been harping on. But in terms of like starting to, like you're saying, push the boundaries sort of his passing abilities and get comfortable with that, I think he's really improved. He's the thing that stands out to me for how massive he is like his depth perception. He's almost 100% of the time passing, or basically 100% of the time passing to someone that's shorter than him. and usually considerably shorter. And to be able to place it from that height to where the teammate you're passing it to needs the ball, it is pretty outstanding, really, because you're usually like a foot or 6 inches taller than the guy you're passing to, which is wild. And he does it like on fast breaks. I forget who it was against, but there's like a 3-on-2 fast break and he's in the middle. And he's so tall that he gets it like at the free throw line and he sees exactly where he needs to place the ball to his teammate, who's probably like 8 inches shorter than him, and gives it to him for a layup. And it's not like the most incredible pass because it's a 3-on-2, but just the placement of it is wild, just considering how tall he is. And he uses that height really well. Like he sees, we talk about point guards that are 6'5 and see over the defense, or I remember it got harped a lot with Ben Simmons, like, oh, he can see over the defense all the time because he's taller than every other playmaker that's going to be defending him. Yeah, but like Victor is taller than every single person on the court, and he's able to see exactly like where guys are going to. If you feed it to him on the top of the key, he just does a really good job of quickly analyzing things. He does it a lot too in the pick and roll. Like before he actually starts rolling and as he's sitting the pick, he sees where all his teammates are on the court. And as soon as he starts that roll, he knows exactly whether he's going to take that shot or whether he's going to pass it out to one of his teammates because he knows where they are. So just the court mapping and assessment along with the passing that he has is really a special thing.
I wanted to jump in real quick. I know this isn't on the outline, but I love his screening. For a 7'3 skinny guy, he's got pretty good. Why are you making that face?
You and I will disagree strongly on his screening because I feel like I didn't see him set a single real screen.
He doesn't make a ton of contact, which is annoying.
Which like is a actual, screen. That's what a screen is.
It's the timing. The timing is what I really like. He does not like touch bodies with people because he's skinny, but he knows when to roll, like when to just completely dip and roll out of there early, when to kind of hang around for a second. And I feel like if he made contact, he would just die. So, you know, I'm okay with it being a fake screen because he, you know, it's, I don't know if you know what this is, Bryce, it's called gravity. So it does.
Here's the thing though.
Actually, I don't believe in gravity. So
I'm closer with Bryce on this, but I'm very optimistic on it too, because I don't think he needs to put on a whole lot of weight to be a good screener. Because the thing with Victor is his legs are so long that he can set such a wide base of a screen that he can take so much space away. It doesn't have to be like this, you know, Steven Adams type build to set a really good screen. He can just position himself in a way that takes so much space with his legs and that it's effectively sort of, you're not running through a brick wall, but you're having to run around a really large portion of space that he takes away from the court. So I think in that regard, it's impressive, but I do agree that like technicality speaking, I think I lean a little closer to Bryce's side on this.
He could do to watch some like Rudy Gobert tape. Rudy used to do that thing where he would put his arms together in the middle of his chest, like he was giving himself a fist bump. And like, just because his arms were so damn long, that added like an extra like 3 inches each way that the guard would have to go around. So, and the thing with Wemby too is like, you can't just like, you could say, oh, he's skinny. You're not going to be able to just run him over because he's going to be a superstar day one. He's going to get those calls. Like, you can't just run the guy over because that's going to be a foul on you. You know what I mean? I think he's just a little too slip happy. I would like to see him set a couple more screens, but I do see what you're saying, Coop. Like, there are times where, especially when he slips towards the rim, instead of just kind of doing that thing where he like steps out of the way and then like circles back to the 3-point line. I don't really like that, but when he slips towards the rim, I agree with you where he's great at, he's making that slip. He's going to catch and he's going to immediately see, you know, oh, there's three pathways I can score. I take one dribble. Someone cuts that off. The pass is there. You know what I mean? Like, he's just very quick in recognizing that stuff. So I'm definitely with you on that end, Coop. I would like to see him, you know, actually like touch someone when he's setting a screen. Though I will say, two of the games I watched, the teams he was playing was basically switching everything, even if he didn't make contact. So I I will say, like, in those games, I give him more of a pass because he's just, like, why you don't need to hit someone if they're just going to switch it anyways. You're not going to create much of an advantage. They were switching under, too, so it's, like, a hole. Anyways, do you guys have any other notes on his passing or his screening before I kind of nerd out about his shooting really fast?
I hate whenever he rolls into, like, what you were talking about, where he just kind of sits there and gets out of the way. That's got to be one of my least favorite parts. Like, I get it because their entire, like, half their offensive scheme is get this man touches in the goddamn mid post and let him cook. But it is really, like, you are arguably the best, like, lob threat prospect ever and one of the best putbackers ever, especially for, like, a league where goaltending is, you know, more acceptable. Just get your ass to the rim. You know, as much as talented as you are, as good as you are at shooting out of this mid-range, if you just get to the rim every single time, it's basically free buckets every single trip down the floor. It's a slightly annoying thing, and I get it because he's got to develop his game. You can't just fully rely on that, especially when you're, you know, trying to develop into a creator. But it does bug me at times when he just kind of floats around.
Yeah, we'll talk about that a lot on defense too. All right, I'm going to talk a lot about his shooting really fast because I probably spent too long analyzing it. What I'll say is that trying to critique a 7-4 person shot is a very difficult thing to do in a lot of ways. I think when a lot of the Wemby stuff is kind of low-hanging fruit, though. It's not, you don't have to watch like a ton of his games to be like, it's weird that he's fading away on every single three-pointer he's taking. And you would think that would make him miss short. And it would, but he's kind of changing his form as he does these like fadeaways on these three, even like spot-up three. Like, I should note, like, even like wide open spot-up threes, he is fading away sometimes. It's this weird, bad, negative lean where as he jumps, his shoulders are going back and his body's sort of at like a weird, I don't know, 75 degree angle, or depending on which way you're saying the axis is, it's like 120.
It's like a 15 degree angle if you look at it from the middle.
And yeah, it just depends. Just depends how you want to break it down. Anyways, and it's just like, I think it's really hurting his numbers. And what he does is, instead of keeping his form the way it usually is, he's like adding this like really elongated like dip and rise like KDS thing where he's pushing the ball out more. And that's like a lot of his misses, even though he's fading away, are super long. Like, they're back rim, they're way over the rim. And it's because he's like doing way too much with his arms. He is a, let me check the numbers again, but he's like a very good free throw shooter. He right now for this season is at 81% from the free throw line. You know, he's had moments where that's been worse, but for the most part, like, he's pretty consistently around a 70%, sometimes eclipsing that into the 80s free throw shooter. He's a very good free throw shooter. I've talked about how good I think his touch is, but like the form itself is just kind of odd. Like, he's just fading away on these threes. He's also, and we'll talk about this a lot defensively, his footwork is incredibly versatile and he does a lot of different footwork patterns, but it seems to me like he doesn't have one footwork pattern that he is most comfortable with. He is trying to experiment with a lot of different, I keep saying footwork patterns. I guess that's the only word I can come up with for it. Experimenting with a lot of different footwork patterns, and a lot of them just don't work. And I think he needs to just cut out the fat a little bit. Like, I would like to see him. The one he looks best doing is when he plants his left leg, he cheat steps with his right foot and then brings that right foot in to point at the basket. It's out in compact. That's kind of like your classic, what you would call a 1-2 motion, right? Where it's like you're keeping one foot planted and you're bringing that other one in on one step as you catch the ball, and then you're into your shot. It looks best when he does that. And when he does that, it tends to eliminate the lean. But he's really started, he's trying to do these like hard left foot plant, right taps into shots, or he tried to do a couple like hop steps, and it just like it just doesn't work. Like, I just don't think he doesn't need to be that versatile with it. Like, I get the idea, and if he was 6'5", I'd be all for it. You know, if he was Jay Mullins out here, okay, do all this weird shit into your jumper. But he's not. He doesn't need to. And I think, you know, like, he'll spend 2 weeks with an NBA shooting coach and he'll be fine. Like, I think he is like a legit potential like 38-39% shooter on like high volume, the occasional difficult shot. Like, I think he is like that type of shooting prospect. I just think like the number right now is mostly affected by pretty low hanging fruit that I would say, like I said, like it's not hard to see. Like, it's not like I'm some shot doctor coming in here explaining all these little intricate details that are wrong. It's not hard to see. Oh, it's weird that he's leaning back that far on his three and he misses it 2 feet long, 2 feet long. Like, it's just like a little, like, I think the fixes are mostly easy. So that's a long, very long-winded way of saying I think he's going to be a very good shooter in time. Coop Stone, do you guys have anything to add with the jumper?
The only thing I had kind of is that he sort of the progression of like the power generated from his feet by the time it gets to his arms just takes a tad slow because of how tall he is. Like, it takes way longer than if it's like an Eric Gordon or somebody shooting a shot, like, because he's so much taller. But I don't think it really matters because he's so tall that nobody's really contesting it. So I don't think that sort of holds him back really in any sort of significant way, I guess. So I think that, yeah, he's the shooting too, because he can pass, I think, from three, like from the top of the key, and because he can handle a little bit, I think it provides a level of comfortability that coaches are going to have of letting him experiment a little bit and let it fly from deep. And I think that he's very comfortable with it, and all the other indicators are there as far as touch. So I'm sort of with Bryce, where I think he's going to be like somewhat of actually like a high volume 3-point shooter and at a decent clip in the NBA. Like, I think that we can legitimately see him taking 6, 7, 8 shots from three a game at some point in his career, and he's hitting him at a, you know, really more than respectable clip. So yeah, I buy the shooting long term for sure.
He can really shoot. That's all I have to add to that. The different setups are crazy. The shit where he's going off of one leg on like moving forward, almost shooting a floater from the 3-point line, and it's hard not to buy somebody with that level of touch. Not shooting the ball, especially when they take such a difficult bunch of shots and are still shooting, you know, basically 30%. So I as well buy the three. I know this is really we're going to be the only people on Victor Wembanyama can shoot island, but
yeah. This is
everyone else is hating on Victor, but we're standing strong.
Yeah, this is obviously a very unpopular podcast.
We believe in your shot.
Yeah, come guest star on our podcast, please. No, but anyways, all shots aside, let's move on to I want to discuss briefly offensive role and upside. And I guess the way I'm going to frame this is, and Coop, I'm going to throw this back to you. Do you think Victor Wembanyama can be the best offensive player on a championship caliber offense?
Yeah, I think I'll go with the simple answer there. I think just the ability to automatically draw a double team every single time down the floor or get an uncontested jumper, and also be able to pass out of any double team, or also be, you know, a play finisher. Like, just that combination of can play create, can play finish, can play with any other number of players. I think he could be the, you know, the number one offensive engine, but I don't know if you're like truly maximizing him with the defense, like we'll get into in a bit, if you're like fully expending his energy on the offensive end. You know, it's tough because we haven't fully seen him in the, you know, play with, like, we've seen him play with Hugo Besson, who's basically, sorry, Hugo Besson, who's basically an NBA all-star over in France. But it's, I'd like to see him play with other talent and see how he reacts. But I'm 90% sure he's going to be just fit with anybody, play really well with any other player type, and just do cool shit for every single team that's ever existed. And fitting with a bunch of different kinds of people and being good at a bunch of different roles and being able to create means you're probably the best offensive player on your team. You know, versatility plus good equals more good. So I got a lot of belief in him.
Unequivocally, yes, I think is my answer. Just like I have zero doubts. Barring anything, hopefully, that's like unfortunate circumstances, I just don't see an outcome really where he's not the best player on your team on both ends, which we'll get to the other end in a little bit. But I think that like he's just going to be the hub of your offense, and his role in terms of facilitating or shooting or scoring, whatever it may be, I think more just depends on where he lands. But I sort of am unequivocally like, yes, he can be your best offensive option on a championship team. Sort of how that role shifts and changes is dependent on who his teammates are, I think, and where those lottery balls end up. But I think his role shifts with who he plays, but I don't think the value he brings to whatever team does. So that's how I would put it.
Yeah, so I'll say yes as well. And again, you know, obviously big shock that we're all in on Wemby. I will give the caveat that I don't think like I think he needs like at least one other like really solid offensive, not engine, but like someone who can like do shit. You know, like he can't be Luka. And again, like that should have surprised people, like Luka and like the James Harden types, you know, Chris Paul to an extent. Those are like the one of one types. And Wemby's also one of one, but in just a different way. Like yeah, I
apples to oranges, I think, kind of.
Yeah, I've always preferred to say apples to onions because apples and oranges are both fruit. They can be compared.
Well, like, they're both basketball. They're different players,
kinds of fruit.
But they're
yeah, like but they're, but you could compare you could compare two different types of fruit. It's apples and oranges. Like you could one is more tart. Yeah, this is, one has a peel. But like an onion is like completely different. Like, you know,
I can tell this guy sucks at cooking.
You can compare like berries, but like full on fruits is a different animal.
Anyways. But yes, I think you're right, Stone, that it's very, it's very like, they're different types of best players on championship teams, but like, I think he can get there. I think, I honestly think like the Giannis comp in a lot of ways like does make some sense. Like they're very different, but in terms of like impact on both ends, I could see them having. I think Giannis makes a lot of sense, and Giannis has been the best player on the championship team. And honestly, if Giannis had a slightly more competent organization, like the Bucks are fine, but if they were just a little more competent, like he could be a 2-3 time champion by now. So, anyways, I think Wemby can get there, but it's not going to be like heliocentrism. That's not the path that he's going to go down. Not that it really is for anyone. I honestly can't think of a single heliocentric creator who's been the engine of a championship team, honestly. I think maybe the closest you'll find is Kawhi Leonard for the 2019 Raptors, but even he was not a heliocentric creator in the passing sense. He was just like a scorer LeBron, and everyone. Yeah, maybe, but like, I mean, like oh yeah, okay, for the Lakers maybe I'll give you that, but even though AD was on like an all-time tear like that postseason, like
yeah
but like LeBron on the Cavs, no, definitely not, because Kyrie had like a super high usage too. Anyways,
I'm gonna go back now while you talk and try and find someone.
Anyways, let's move on. I think that
bro
think
is disrespecting Wilt Chamberlain right now. This is disgusting.
Didn't Wilt Chamberlain win a chip with Jerry West?
I was joking, man. Let me get away from this one.
You're ruining the narrative.
Anyways, I have a like a role question, but we'll come to that like positionality at the end. Let's move on to his defense. Coop, I'm just going to throw this straight up to you. I broke down his defense into three categories: rim protection, movement skills, ground coverage. And then I'm going to add one more in here in our little outline that's like help instincts. So I'm going to throw it to you. Let's start with his rim protection. How do you feel about him as like a straight rim protector? Or if you want like a better definition, like to narrow it down even more, specifically rim protecting out and playing in pick and roll?
Well, the rim protection is very good. He's 7'5". He's got like the hip flippability of a guy who's half his size, like a 3'7" midget. His arms and timing, you know, we talked about the reaction speed. We talked about all the input stuff, but he has such good body control and hand-eye coordination where he can just kind of tap stuff out of the way in just like the craziest ways that you don't expect. Like he'll get, I think in pick and roll, his biggest thing defensively is that he is a massive deterrent. You know, it's kind of the Rudy Gobert thing. I mean, Bryce is going to be, as a Utah Jazz fan, anytime you mention screen assists or rim deterrence, he's going to start screaming about Rudy Gobert. But I think it's really real with Wembanyama. Guys don't even look at the rim when he's in the game because he's terrifying. It takes like a perfectly executed two-man game with another awful defender to score on Victor Wembanyama at the rim. They play him mostly in a drop, and we're just kind of chilling in the paint. It's not even really a drop. He just kind of sits his ass in the paint, and guys don't even look at it. They'll try to close out, and he can slink around other defenders and offensive players to get blocks that you just don't believe. Like, there was somebody cutting from the left corner, and he's like up guarding the guy on the right wing, and he rotates in and he slides between the post player and his defender and like goes and taps the block out because he's just that crazy of a mover. And it's just crazy, crazy stuff like that. It's almost unbelievable. Sorry, I'm a little bit out of breath after that. I got a little excited, but he just keeps guys from getting to the rim, especially in drop, where a small guard, he can sometimes get beat by small guards and they can sneak in there and get a quick, but you have to be so fast. Like every single guard that scored on him is like an NBA level small guard. And most other guys, he just forces into tough fadeaway twos or trying to pass to the rolling big man. And then he can also perfectly recover. Can cover two different guys in the paint, guard both of them effectively. It's kind of like John Butler, but reality and bigger. Like it's just scary, scary stuff.
Yeah. I mean, Wembanyama is pretty much just John Butler on his bad days, but Wemby, I think, is really just a special defender. I still believe like Chet is probably the better like technical rim protector. When you inevitably they'll get compared to each other over the course of this cycle, but I think that Wembanyama is not the same level of court reader in terms of multitasking and like seeing different plays happening at once on the defensive end. But I think Wembanyama needs less time to react, and can see things happening a little bit faster than Chet and is able to get there. There's like two times in one game, and I should have clipped it, but I got too lazy to go back and rewatch the whole game to find where it was. But there were like two times where there are guys that were dribbling towards the paint from the 3-point line. And they saw Victor like take one step towards the rim, and they immediately just passed it to one of the wings. Like they wanted no part of it. He's just like that feared of a rim protector. And I think he's going to come into the league like that, where guys just don't want really like any piece of him because he's so long and he absorbs space so quickly. The thing with Wemby is that he needs one step really, or two in some cases. And his wingspan makes up for the rest of it, where he's already at the rim. Like he's already there contesting shots. So even though he may not track things as much defensively, He's able to see them quickly and doesn't need much time to respond. Like, he's still able to get there an adequate amount of time and contest shots. He does also, not to the probably amount, same amount of time that Chet did, but he does like to bait defensively. He lets opponents sort of drive in, think they have sort of an open lane, and he likes to come from behind and swat it away, or come from the side a lot of times and swat it away. The big thing too is just his ability to recover as a defender. Like, he's gonna get beat. He's 7'5", but, and I don't think his hips flip all that quickly. Like, it's not bad, but I don't think it's exceptional either. But it doesn't really matter, because he takes one step and he's already back in the play, and he's back able to recover and block from behind, or take up space and block the whole left or right side of the court. So there's a lot of things where length really just does make up for any errors that Wembanyama may have within his game. Not that there's a whole lot to pick from, but yeah, I'm going on and on here, but I really like his defense, and I think he's going to be impactful from day one.
So I'll say, I think it's really interesting to have three straight classes with rim protectors like we've had. So, like, Evan Mobley, I think, was the perfect, like, instincts defender around the rim, like, just timing, and obviously he was athletic enough and long arms, just like his instincts around the rim were insane. And I think Chet was, like, maybe the most technically proficient pick and roll defender I've ever scouted, just in terms of, like, everything he did guarding the pick and roll was the correct thing. Like Stone mentioned, like, his recognition, his ability to understand things. Like, yeah, that was Chet. Wemby is just a monster. He's like Godzilla with a 7'8" wingspan. Like, it's just, and it shows up all the time. There's this one play I noted where he was guarding, like, a simple flex screen, which is just, like, basically think of it as, like, it's usually a guard screening for a post, or a cross screen is another term for it, like, on the block, right? And it's like, his way of guarding it was just to just be there. And it's like, yeah, okay, try and throw it. Try and make this pass. He just guarded, like, a whole play that's usually, you know, at least something you have to kind of move around to worry about by just existing, by just being who he is. I think his pick and roll defense is interesting. I think he can, like, I don't like him guarding the perimeter as much as some, I think, especially against, like Coop mentioned, oh, he gets beat by guards, and the recovery stuff is nice against guards sometimes. When it's, like, you know, John Morant's obviously an extreme example, but even like a slightly younger, you know, Mike Conley, like, he's giving up a lot of layups switched on the perimeter against those guys. But I think he could be very effective in drop. I feel like he doesn't do it a ton, but when he does, he's very good at not letting someone get behind him for easy lobs, or when they might, like, he's great at contesting those lobs, blocking those lobs, coming down with the lob himself, whatever. He is very good at reading what the ball handler wants to do. I think his issue is that he's just a big gambler on defense. He is Kenny Rogers out here trying to, like, make plays, you know, whether it be, and it's weird because it's not always gambling for blocks or steals. It's just, like, weird gambles where it's like, oh, I'm going to flip my hips and, like, completely expose my top foot for a guard to cross right back over. And then I have to spin all the way around if I want to recover and try and block that shot. And he can do it sometimes. Like, I kind of disagree with you, Stone. I think his hip movements are incredible. It's just, they're kind of weird. So I get why, like they're not always, like, he doesn't always take the most efficient path with how quick his hips are, I feel like. But, like the hips themselves are very quick, even if he's elongating the movements himself in some ways. But I do have some worries about, like, just him having to guard guards on the perimeter, which, again, like, nitpicking a little bit, he's going to be a monster protecting the rim. And I think there's some other stuff that I really like. So something I noted is that he's like a cheat code trying to guard dribble handoffs, because you can go like the guard can get clipped on a dribble handoff. The guard defender, I should say, get clipped on a dribble handoff, and it won't matter. Not because Wemby's gonna always be able to switch up there, but like if that guard goes into a jumper, Wemby will be able to contest it. And if he tries to like, you know, fake a jumper and pass like to like a slipping big man, he's just so big that he will just swallow that pass up. Like, and he does some like crazy ass shit where he's like jumping on one toe and flailing his leg out, and like he has to lead the EuroLeague in kicked ball violations, I swear, because in the games I watched, I think he probably had 8 total, and it's always him just like flailing around and in like a way like a 5'11 guard does, you know, like to try and prevent stuff like that. But it doesn't matter, like he's just so insane in that stuff. He does like I'm sure should be expected. He's 7'4". His closeouts are real, real bad. Like he is just like he can't turn around that quick. But like I don't know. We talked about his movement skills a little bit. His footwork fascinates me because it's so non-traditional. It really does feel like he's just like improvising every second. Like he hasn't learned a ton of specific basketball movements, but he's so fluid that it doesn't matter because he's just like twirling around and like tip tapping. And it's just, I can't even like explain it with words. I put a couple clips out there of like his, the insanity that is his defensive footwork, but I just think there's a lot to like there. What I will say, and this kind of transitions to positionality, I really hated his help instincts. Coop, I'll throw this to you. You and I are kind of the help defense guys. What'd you think of his help defense?
Even in the paint, sometimes he just kind of lets things go, like but especially on the perimeter, like he'll make one kind of basic rotation and then just kind of chill, or he'll see some like a big drive happening and he won't dig, or he won't do a lot of like the smaller stuff, and it's kind of annoying because he could like take half a step and then like just dig the ball out of like anybody's like little, you know, ball pocket there and mess up their drive. And sometimes, like especially on the perimeter, he's okay like on the connected passes where they go like zip 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 to the corner, he'll like hit the one guy and then move over to the guy on the corner. But the second he like moves at all and gets a dribble drive, he doesn't move. He's just like, oh, well, they're gone now. I'm just going to kind of sit here. I guess there's nothing me, arguably the best defensive prospect, you know, ever. There's nothing I can do. Damn. And it's annoying. It's kind of like the floaty thing on offense. I think there's definitely like the ability for him to like lock in and just completely shut down massive amounts of the court and fly around and do all this stuff, but he's not there right now. He's also 19, so I don't really know how worried I should be, especially when like the instincts around the rim and when he does kind of decide to lock in are pretty solid.
Yeah, I don't think he's that good of a help defender right now. I don't really have much to add to that. The only thing I guess I'll sort of add, which I guess sort of fits into there, but it's more just something, an extra note I had that I haven't talked about yet, is that he, for me, does not have the best load time as a leaper. And that sort of plays into the rim protection, sort of as like a help defender guy, but not really on both ends. But it just does not matter because he does have, like we talked about, really good reactional timing, and he's so long that it just makes up for whatever space is lost within, let's say if he gets off the ground in like 0.3 seconds as opposed to 0.1 second, like it doesn't matter because that length makes up for it and then some, that it doesn't really change anything, and he's still like very much a positive. So that's something that played in the defense and also the offense, because he times like tip-ins and dunks so well that he's able to reach over guys that are like outside the mini arc within the paint. And he could just dunk over them or tip it in over them. And it doesn't really matter that the leaping is off because he times it. He knows, I think, that that is a small deficiency, and he knows how to, he knows his body well enough that he's just able to time it where he's still very much a positive as a jumper without the load time being exceptional. So that's just one other extra thing I saw within his game that sort of, I guess, plays in on both ends, but that's about all I have on Wemby, honestly.
Yeah, I actually did. I think I like his load time a little more than you going forward. Like specifically, like if he can once two step into it, or he's good off, like he's a very good leaper off just one leg, which is, I feel like, somewhat rare for big guys. But he's a very good 1 foot leaper. But I agree, like out of a back pedal, I feel like he needs some time to load. I think something like the nuances of his rim protection, like, you know, Coop mentioned like the fear, the rim deterrence. Like, I can't think of very many times I've seen someone block as many floaters as Victor Wembanyama. Like, that's like, a floater is a generally inefficient shot in general. Like, even like good floater shooters, like, it tends to not be a very good shot. But what it's supposed to do is open up, like, you know, get the big out on you a little bit, so it opens up lob passes, right? Like, that's the point of floaters. That's what makes Trae Young so effective, is that he's also like a very good lob passer, so he can mix those in. But like, it doesn't matter if those floaters are getting blocked, and like, Wemby can always be the second person to jump. Like, I think his timing is good, but more importantly is that his timing doesn't matter, because he can always be the second. Even, and I think that'll translate even against very good NBA athletes. Like, you can get off the ground, you can let the ball go, like, he can jump after you and still get the block. Like, he does not have to try and read what you're doing. He does not have to try and predict. And, like, he's already very good at, like, I didn't really notice that he was, like, fouling a ton. His fouls per game are not bad. He's at, you know, only 2.1 fouls per game, which is pretty good. And it's because he trusts himself. Like, he's not like jumpy defensively. He is a gambler, but he's not jumpy because he knows, I can wait for this person to fully get their jump shot off, or their floater off, or their layup off, and I can still get to that and block that shot. So just like little things that, even though I think he's not technically perfect, like, I think, like I mentioned, Chet and Evan Mobley, where I think, in the technical senses, like, if they were all the same size, those guys would be better rim protecting prospects. But the difference is that Wemby's 7'4", and he's good enough that that just adds to just everything. So I quickly wanted to talk about, I feel like he's going to get some looks as like a four. I just wanted to ask you guys, do you guys think he's firmly a five? Do you think he's a 4 or 5? Do you think it doesn't really matter? Do you think he's better as a four? Like, I guess just really fast, like, what are your thoughts on his positionality? Coop, I'll throw this to you.
It's hard to be like a four in any kind of way with weak help defense instincts. But I think in an ideal world, maybe not. I wouldn't, I don't know if I'd call the instincts themselves weak, just weak help defense. I think eventually he can get there. I think physically he could definitely get to like a place as a four. And I mean, ideally he's just able to do both and just lock down the rim from the four spot. And then you can also run, you know, either a four to match up against another perimeter player. Like, maybe you need a stopper this night, so you run Wembanyama at the five, and then you run, you know, a smaller four, like a Jayshon Tate, who can lock up the guard that you need locked up that night. Or they run two bigs, so you need, or maybe not two bigs, but just two bigger guys. Or they run a stronger big like an Embiid, and you want to run somebody who can at least kind of slow him down. And then you have Wembanyama helping and, you know, still trying to block shots and doing that kind of stuff while shutting down the paint. So then you're not overtasking one big or the other. I think that the beauty of Wembanyama is that there's not really an ideal, like, he plays the four, he plays the five. Just let him shut down the rim and, you know, block the shit out of shots. And ideally that's like, and like in theory, that's a five, but he can play next to guys who would more traditionally get the five label and just be more of a rim protecting four, I think.
Yeah, I think I'm pretty much in agreement with you. The stance I've always taken with guys, or at least the past few years with Mobley, with Chet, and now with Wemby, is that their best position defensively is as a rim protector. Like, that's what they're best at defensively. So why would you put them in a spot other than that? And that's sort of been my philosophy with these guys. With Mobley, it's a little bit different of a circumstance because he has Allen there with him. And Mobley is better, I think, than these guys on the perimeter. But that's where I am with Wemby too. Like, his best attribute defensively is as a rim protector. So that's where I think he needs to be. Whether that's as a four or a five, I don't really care. Like Cooper said, if there's someone stronger there or whatever early on in his career, and he's by proxy a four, but is still the primary rim protector defensively, so be it. But I don't really think it matters in terms of what numerical number you put on him as a four or five, just as long as he's probably your primary focus defensively. And I think the only circumstance that changes a little bit is if he were to land on the Thunder and he's with Chet. I think that changes things a little bit because they're both awesome rim protectors. But I don't think that's a bad thing. Like, I think you just take more of that if you're the Thunder. So, yeah, that's where I'm at with them. I think it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think that is probably just about everything on Victor Wembanyama. I don't think there is. I'm sure there's other smarter people who have plenty to say, and I will listen to their podcasts and I will, you know, hear them out. But I think that's about all. In the absence of Tale of the Tape, I want to talk very quickly and probably very, very quickly about Bilal Coulibaly, who is a draft eligible teammate of Victor Wembanyama's, who I, you know, is worthy of. If he declares, we will probably talk about him with maybe a bit more depth, or maybe I'll do like a Twitter thread on him or something. It's hard to say, because from what I saw in his games here, and I know he played better in the recent U19 tournament, but from what I saw here, there was not a ton that, you know, really intrigued me. You know, this season, when playing in the lower levels, he's averaging 21.8 points on 53, 32, 76 shooting splits, 2.5 assists, 2.8 turnovers, some impressive defensive numbers. The bigger league, he's doing just about nothing. I mean, he's only playing like 9 minutes a game, averaging a little over 1 point. Obviously, at the lower levels, like the steal and block rates, 4.1, 3.6, that translates to the higher level, 4.2 to 2.1 at the higher level. He's like a 6'6 forward. He's a July 26, 2004 birthday. So he is a very young, like, he will be, I believe he'll be, is the draft on July 26th usually, or is it the draft usually in June? I'm so dumb.
June.
Okay, so he will be drafted at 18. It's a poke. If he stays in this draft, which he might not. Very, very important to know he might not. But anyway, 6'6 forward. He's like all movement skills right now. Like, that's really it for the sell. But like, he is very legit as a mover. Like he has great footwork on the perimeter. He's long. He's very athletic, very smooth. It does not take long watching him to be like, oh, that's like an NBA caliber perimeter defender. I have questions about the general feel. I don't think he's a very good passer or ball handler. Maybe he's an if he shoots guy. I think he's probably worth a look in the draft just because he's so young. But that's, I don't have like a ton to say, because again, I have not. If he declares, I will watch at least one or two of his lower level games, because I'm a sicko. And give you more there, but that's about it. Coop Stone, do you guys have anything on Bilal Coulibaly?
I do not, because I just wanted to watch Victor, and I kept my eyes focused on him the entirety of film. But I do have one final note on Wemby before we go. If unless Coop has anything to say about Bilal.
No, I have been watching more Mike Schrob jumps, which is completely off topic, but he's so fun. He's so talented, such a good passer, so high feel, such a funky mover. I don't have anything else to add about Bilal, but watch Dayton. So
yeah, we lied. This isn't the Wemby pod, actually. No, but yeah, the final note I had on Wemby is nothing really to do with his game per se, but just that I've been very accepting of points different than mine. Like, I don't really care if, well, I do care, but I want to know, like, I'm open to the reasoning as to why someone would be wildly different on somebody else's board if it were not my own. This is the first time outside of Luka where I feel very strongly that Wemby has to be number one for everybody. Like, I don't think there's really a justifiable reason where you would have somebody else number one. There's been guys in the past like Zion or Cade that have been labeled generational, and I always thought they were really good, not necessarily generational. I'm willing to put that generational label on Wembanyama and say that this guy is a once in a lifetime type prospect. And I think that if you have someone else that, let's say Wembanyama for some reason doesn't live up to the expectations, and Scoot ends up being the best player in this class, or Amen or whoever, I don't think that whoever, if someone out there did have the number one, I still think they would be wrong, because I think that Wembanyama is one of these can't miss once in a lifetime prospects where if you have someone above him in the 1 or 2% chance that Victor does not live up to being this number one player in this class, then I think that everything that you watched concerning Victor was a mis-evaluation in terms of how you categorize the value of it. So that's sort of where I leave off with. I don't want to like totally tell everybody that you're absolutely wrong. But I kind of am. If you don't have Victor number one, like, I think he's just that level of prospect. So that's where I'll leave off.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Like, again, like, I don't want to say you're wrong, because this draft is full of guys who are intriguing. I think putting, and we're not talking about Scoot yet. We're going to talk about Scoot in about a week. I think putting someone like Scoot, or even someone who I really love, like Amen, above Wemby is just a little bit like trying to play it safe, because it's easier to see what those guys do in the NBA. Like, oh, there's been guys who've done it before. You know, Scoot, oh, he's kind of like John Wall. He's kind of like John Morant. He's kind of like, I don't know, any number of uber athletic point guards. Amen, you know, you have to be a little more creative, but, you know, oh, he's kind of like, what, like a Sean Marion at lower values. I'm struggling to think of comps for Amen, because Amen's so weird. But Wemby, it's like, well, he's like nothing. I think the comp people have come up with is Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and that might be fair. I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I've studied prime Kareem tape. I really have not watched any 80s basketball ever, other than when I watched documentaries about 80s basketball players. But Wemby is just something we haven't seen. And it's hard to be like, well, what exactly does he do? That's kind of something we were trying to talk about. And the question is, and the answer is, well, it's hard to say definitively, but he does so much that it's just going to work out. I feel like, again, unless something disastrous happens, I just feel like he has to be up there. I honestly think, and I wasn't quite as into it in 2018, but I do think I prefer Luka slightly to Wemby, like if they were both in the same draft, just because, I mean, Luka was a EuroLeague MVP at 19 years old. Like, at a certain point, I mean, come on. But it just, I like Wemby's right there, and I'll die on that hill. Coop, do you have any thoughts about the historical significance of one Victor Wembanyama?
Well, you would say that because you're a fat fetishizer. That's why you love Luka.
Okay, what can I say?
That's why he hates Wemby.
Luka has the ideal body type of a male. Like, just there is no
Victor
one.
Victor Wembanyama has the ideal male physique.
You're built like Victor Wembanyama, but you're a foot shorter.
It's tough being me.
Coop's all handsome teams are always just a form of narcissism. It's just him. These guys look kind of like me, so that's who I'm gonna rank highest.
That's why I have Hugo Bisson.
Yeah, exactly. Who had Matt Mitchell number one? I did.
Oh my god! And that was an exploding draft.
Who looks nothing like Matt Mitchell? Me. I'm being creative. All right. Anyways, okay. Matt Mitchell's built like Adam Driver, so that's all that matters.
Fair enough. We did talk about Adam Driver before the pod, and that's the love of Bryce's life. It's the only person who I can think of as somebody who has watched a grand total of 3 80s games, all of which were Rockets games. The only person who is like semi-comparable is Ralph Sampson, like movement-wise. Like that guy, 7'2", 7'3", just the funkiest mover you have ever seen at that size. And he could shoot it. He stretched it out a little bit. But he was definitely like a center and was not like a creator in that way. He was just kind of like a play finisher. I feel like if you put Ralph Sampson, stretched him out a little bit and added like, you know, some protective science and the ability to play make, like Ralph Sampson was going fucking bonkers in the disgusting 4-in-1-out offense of the 1980s. It's really tough to look at Wembanyama and not see at least something. Like Bol Bol is bad. Like especially on defense, he's a fine offensive player. And he is like dropping 20-point games and doing all this shit. When you're Victor Wembanyama, legitimately skilled, a two-way threat, you know, really high basketball feel, I just don't see how that doesn't translate. And it's a funny, funny year for that to be happening, as we also get the Lauri Markkanen breakout year as well.
I think that's something too, like, again, sorry this pod is so long, but like, basketball has never been more diverse. Like, I always get tired of people complain, like, oh, like, it's all about just shooting threes now. And it's like, are we watching the same NBA? Like again, like I mentioned the Jazz. Like, Lauri Markkanen is an all-star based mostly on, like back cuts and high post mid-range jumpers. And he's also, like, he's a good shooter from three. He does, like, the occasional off-the-dribble drive, but, like, most of Lauri Markkanen's points come in like very weird points and situations. You have the fucking Timberwolves who traded 4 first round picks to play 2 bigs together. And you could say that didn't work fine, but like, you know who it has worked for? The Cavs, who played not only 2 bigs, but 2 non-shooting bigs, 2 non-threats from the outside. Like the NBA is so, more than ever is about, if you're talented, we will make it work. Even when media talking heads don't see it. Like, my favorite is like the Cavs still like playing Isaac Okoro major minutes. And I hear some people like, oh, why? He can't shoot. He can't. And then it's like, well, because Jalen Brunson couldn't fucking step inside the 3-point line when Isaac Okoro was guarding him. That's why Isaac Okoro plays. Like, it's just like basketball is so like diverse now. And it's so full of different styles of games that now more than ever, archetypes don't matter. Like, I don't care what your archetype is. Are you good at basketball? What do you do well? And with Victor, it's a whole hell of a lot. So I think that's about all we got. Again, this was a very, very long podcast on one person, but if there's anyone who deserved it, it's Victor Wembanyama. Be ready in a week. We're around a week, probably maybe a little less if our schedules work out. We are going to be discussing the G League Ignite. Obviously, Scoot is the main cell there, but also, you know, Mojave King, FA of Boogity, City Sissoko, Leonard Miller, and I think one more who I'm forgetting.
Sharif
is not draft eligible. He entered last year's draft.
I know, but I still want to talk about him.
And then we'll be doing OTE. And then after that, we'll see how we are going to try and get into college soon. It's this college class is tough for me to kind of like sift through, like who's actually a true one and done, because like the best statistically have been guys who are ranked like in the 50s in the RSEI. So it's like sometimes those guys end up going back for whatever reason and then having off awesome sophomore years of being lottery picks, whatever. Doesn't matter. Anyways, this has been awesome, guys. For Coop at Ali_Oop_Coop, for Stone at Report_Court, I'm at BryceCentric14. You can give us a like, rating, or review on the podcasting app of your choice. Follow us on Twitter at Upside Swings. Give us an email if you want to, I guess, at UpsideSwings@gmail.com. And yeah, this has been the Upside Swings NBA podcast. We hope we hit our ceiling. Thank you.